Okay. You know, the Mishnah says Maseches Megillah and Daf Yotes has machlokas between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda about how kol chayav mikra Megillah. Everyone is obligated to mikra Megillah, men and women. Can a katan be motzi a gadol when it comes to mikra Megillah? So the opinion of the Rabbanan is that a katan cannot be motzi a gadol. However, Rabbi Yehuda actually argues that a katan can be motzi a gadol in mikra Megillah. So Taisus explains why, you know, the opinion of the Rabbanan, which of course is how we paskin, that a katan cannot be motzi a gadol in mikra Megillah, but why not? You know, so Taisus explains, you know, the katan is chayav mikra Megillah mitam chinuch, and the adult is chayav mikra Megillah also mid Rabbanan, a different Rabbanan, because of mikra Megillah itself is only a din mid Rabbanan, not really, not time to discuss now, but not necessarily a din d'oraisa or even mid Dibrei Kabbalah, is probably mid Rabbanan. So if the katan is chayav mid Rabbanan mitam chinuch, why can't it be motzi the gadol who's chayav mid Rabbanan because of mikra Megillah? So Taisus says because the katan, the principle Taisus develops elsewhere in Hilchos Brachos, is because the katan is chayiv only by virtue of a double derabanan. Number one, the primary mitzvah mikra Megillah is only derabanan, and the chayiv of the katan mitam chinuch is a second derabanan. But all that does is serve to obligate him in the primary mitzvah, which itself is only derabanan. So the katan is chayiv in, you know, mikra Megillah because by virtue of a double derabanan, trade derabanan, and lo asi trade derabanan, two, you know, persons only obligated by virtue of a double derabanan cannot be moitzi an adult who's chayiv by virtue of one derabanan. That's like kol she'enu mechuyav adavar enu moitzi es harav midei chayvaso. Since you're really not obligated to the same level, same degree of obligation, you can't be moitzi the gadol in mikra Megillah. That's why, that's how Taisus explains the opinion of the Rabbanan. It's interesting that the Ramban explains the opinion of the Rabbanan somewhat differently. The Ramban, which is really a big issue in Chinuch, the Ramban says, because who's obligated mitam Chinuch that the child should hear mikra Megillah? Is that the child's obligation? Or is that the parent's obligation to see to it that when the child is able to understand the mikra Megillah, that he comes to hear the mikra Megillah? So if the chiyuv chinuch is not on the child, it's on the parent, well then certainly the child cannot be mitzi the gadol yidei mikra Megillah, because the child himself is not chayv. It's really the parent's obligation. So however we understand the opinion of the Rabbanon, whether it's the child's obligation chinuch, but he's only chayv by virtue of a double the Rabbanon, as opposed to a gadol is chayv by virtue of one the Rabbanon, or because the obligation of chinuch is primarily on the parents, not on the child himself. Either way, the opinion of the Rabbanon is that katan cannot be mitzi the gadol in mikra Megillah. Rabbi Yehuda argues that he can. That's fascinating. Does Rabbi Yehuda disagree with this principle of a double derabanan? You might see someone who's chayv only, you know, by virtue of one derabanan. How could it be that he disagrees with that principle? It's quite compelling. So it seems Taisus later on in Maseches Megillah Chapdan Manaf explains the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that he argues fundamentally with the Rabbanan that a child is not chayv in mikra Megillah only because of chinuch. He's chayv in mikra Megillah independently, just like the gadol. Because af hein hayu ba'isay hanes, the children were also included in the salvation of the Nes of Purim, and therefore, just like women, let's say, even though mikra Megillah is a time-bound mitzvah, women are obligated independently to mikra Megillah because af hein hayu ba'isay hanes. Not only did they precipitate the Nes, of course, you know, with the participation of Esther, but they were saved just as much as, you know, as the men. So therefore, they're also obligated to mikra Megillah. Similarly, a child also is chayiv independently mikra Megillah, not just mitam chinuch, because the pasuk says, of course, Haman planned lash mid larug la'abed, as called Yehudim minar bat zaken, from old to young, taf v'noshim b'yom echad, children and women, you know, on the same day. And in fact, the Medrash says that Haman specifically targeted the children, because when Mordechai refused to bow down to Haman in the courtyard of Achashverosh, Haman followed Mordechai home. And Mordechai was aware of this, says the Medrash. So he led him to the schoolyard. I don't know why you would put the children in the crosshairs, but okay, but he led them to the schoolyard. And Mordechai asked the little children what they were learning, and they were learning psukim about bitachon and trusting in Hashem, that he will save us from all of our enemies, even when we might be in the minority, and all these kinds of, you know, these kinds of themes. So Haman said, wow, the source of their inspiration, their optimism is coming from the children. So Haman said, I'm going to start the gzeira against the children. So perhaps since Haman specifically targeted Taf V'Noshim B'Yom Echad, Rabbi Yehuda feels that Ketanim are chayv in mikra Megillah, not just mitam chinuch. Yes, of course, if you're only chayv by virtue of double derabanan, you can't be mostly someone who's only, you know, who's chayv by virtue of one derabanan. But since Haman specifically targeted the children independently are chayv in mikra Megillah, just like the adults, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda felt that Ketan could in fact be mostly the gadol in mikra Megillah. The Vilna Gaon claims in his parish on the Megillah that there's an allusion to this opinion of Rabbi Yehuda in the Megillah itself. Because the Megillah says, "V'zichram lo yosef mizaram," that remembering the Megillah will never be lost from their children, from their descendants. But it could literally mean from their children. So the zichram, meaning remembering the mikra megillah, the neis of Purim, lo yosef mizaram, will never be lost from their children, because the children are independently obligated in mikra megillah. Now, needless to say, we don't pass it like Rav Yehuda. We pass it like the Chachamim, that a katan cannot be mitzi legado yidei chavosa. And the Shulchan Aruch quotes the language of the Rambam, which seems to stress this point, that Kitanim are not chayiv independently, inherently, in mikra megillah on their own, because afin hayu basanes, kitanim only chayiv mitam chinuch. And since you only chayiv mitam chinuch, either the obligation of chinuch does the rest with the child, the rest with the parent, or you only chayiv by virtue of a double rabbanan, can't be mighty to the God of chayiv by virtue of one rabbanan. So therefore, the Shulchan Aruch begins in mitafresh peites, hakol chayavim bekriyasa. Everyone's obligated in mikra megillah. Listen carefully. Anashim v'nashim v'gerim v'avodim. Of course, all the different denominations in Klal Yisrael. Umechanchim es haktanim lekroisa. We train the children to read it. Meaning, the Rambam is stressing, don't think like Rav Yehuda that the children are independently obligated. They're only obligated mitam chinuch. Now, it's strange. The Shulchan Aruch does not say, Umechanchim es haktanim li tolas halulav. Umechanchim es haktanim lahadlik neiros chanuk. Umechanchim es haktanim, lechol es hamatzah. We don't find this. In fact, there's no hilchus, right, chinuch and Shulchan Aruch. But we don't have this by every area, every time we have a mitzvah. Umechanchim es haktanim to do this. Why is it only here? Why does the Shulchan Aruch say, Umechanchim es haktanim lekroiser? So you'll say, well, maybe he's coming to la'afuke, that you shouldn't think, to exclude, specifically Bavarn, that you would say, well, maybe we pass like Rav Yehuda, that a katan can be motzi gadol, because there is an opinion out there that katanim are inherently, independently obligated. So maybe the Shulchan Aruch had to go out of its way to exclude that position, but it certainly is curious. But the problem becomes more pronounced at the end of Siman Tafresh Pei Tes, which is many of the halachas, of who is obligated to mikra megillah. Shulchan Aruch says in the last sif, he returns to this issue. Minig toiv, this is six sifim later, just so you don't understand the context. Minig toiv lahavi ketanim v'ketanos l'shmoy mikra megillah. It's a nice minig to bring the ketanim to hear the mikra megillah. 1 minute. Shulchan Aruch began the whole simen. He says, mechanchem es haketanim l'kreisa. We train the children to read it. Then at the end he says, by the way, it's a minig toiv to bring the children to shul. First of all, why are you mentioning this? We don't find it by other mitzvahs. Second of all, why is the Shulchan Aruch returned to the issue twice? What's going on? Who's this second population that wasn't addressed in the first sif? So the Bir Halacha says, well, this must be those same children who we addressed in Sif Aleph. Why is the Shulchan Aruch returning to this? What he means is, no, you could be Yaitse Mikra Megillah, we could train the children of Mikra Megillah in your living room. Bring them to the second Kriya someone will have in their house. But then the Shulchan Aruch says at the end, by the way, it's a nice thing to bring them to shul. Let them come to shul and hear Mikra Megillah B'tzibah. That's how the Bir Halacha learns. That it's the same population as the first sif, but it means that it's a nice idea to bring them to shul. A little difficult. Why is it so important that they come to shul? And why did I think that the first group was only hearing Mikra Megillah in a living room? So the Bir Halacha goes out of his way to say this because he's excluding a position of the Rav Yoh. The Rav Yoh says, no, that on Purim, there's an inyan dafka to bring the children, even shaloi higia l'chinuch. Even the children who normally wouldn't come to shul adavin, they're not, the 9, 10, 11-year-old child who's already saying Shemona Esrei, or 10, 11, whatever age they're doing this, or who can, who would normally come to shul, even bring at the end, that's the first sif. Mechan chemes haktanim l'kreisa, we train them to read it, that's the children higia l'chinuch. Who's addressing a sif of? Even the ketanim shaloi. Not, of course, the little children who are only there to disrupt. They're not going to be able to understand anything that's going on. The Mishnah Berurah has, kind of a hot and cold relationship with children in shul. It's very opposed to it because they're there to disrupt if they don't understand what's going on. But here, it's the children who can sit there, but not, not really. Wouldn't typically be the children who are coming to shul. We should bring them on Purim nonetheless. Minig toiv v'havi ketanim ketanos is even the ketanim shaloi higi l'chinuch entirely. They should come to shul on purpose. So the Bir Halacha does not want to say that. He tells you, this, of course, is only children to give the chinuch, but he's going out of his way to exclude the opinion of the Rav Yoh. But I believe the Shulchan Aruch here is implying so strongly, like the Rav Yoh. Here, the Shulchan Aruch seems to be saying, the opinion of the Bir Halacha notwithstanding, that here we're discussing children, even shalom higil lechinuch the whole year, they should be coming on Purim. And where does the Rav Yoh get this from? He gets it from the Talmud Yushalmi. Talmud Yushalmi says that even according to the Rabbanan, children are obligated to mikra megillah because af hein hoyu ba'os ha'neis. If that's the case, it's not limited to ketanim shehigia l'chinuch. Even if the katan is loy higia l'chinuch, meaning he's not davening shmoneh esrei, he's not necessarily following along every word in the megillah, but he can sit there quietly as long as he can sit there quietly, even though he doesn't understand the ins and outs of the story, he should be coming to Mikra, or he or she should be coming to Mikra Megillah on Purim. Why? Because Af Hein Hayu Ba'os HaNes, even the Rabbanan agree with it. So therefore, it has an expanded population that we would normally find by other mitzvahs. It has an expanded population. And therefore, might even extend to Ketanim Shaloi Higia Lechinuch. 1 minute, if that's the case. If that's the case, we come back to our original problem. If the Rabbanan agree that children are chayv because Af Hein Hayu Ba'os HaNes, and the Yerushalmi says this even according beyond the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, even we would subscribe to this notion that children are inherently, independently obligated in Mikra Megillah because Af Hein Hayu Ba'os HaNes, and therefore we're going to expand the population beyond Ketanim Shaloi, you know, typically Higia Lechinuch. It has a broader view of Ketanim Shaloi Higia Lechinuch. Meaning, as long as they could just sit there quietly, why can't they be Moitzi Agadol in Mikra Megillah? So I believe the answer is, and this will explain Sif Aleph in the Shulchan Aruch. The answer is, what the Shulchan Aruch is telling us, is when it comes to listening to Mikra Megillah, Af Hein Hayu Ba'os HaNes, even the children are included. Even a broader category, right, a broader population of Higia Lechinuch than we would typically encounter. What the Shulchan Aruch is telling us in Sif Aleph, and that's why he goes out of his way to tell us this, when it comes to Kriyas HaMegillah, leaning the Megillah, that children are not obligated in. So therefore, they can't be Mighty the Gadol, who's obligated not only to hear the Megillah, who's obligated to listen, you know, to read the Megillah. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says, Mechanchem Es HaKtanim L'Kreisa. When it comes to Kriyas HaMegillah, the child is only Mitam Chinuch. However, when it comes to listening to the Megillah, even Ketanim are obligated, and even because Af Hein Hayu Ba'os HaNes, just like women. And this is similar to the opinion the Shulchan Aruch quotes over there in Sif Yud Gimel, or Sif Beis, that even women who are obligated in Mikra Megillah because Af Hein Hayu Ba'os HaNes could not necessarily be Motzi a man, because maybe women's obligation, Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Baal Halachas Gedolos, women are only obligated to hear the Megillah because of Af Hein Hayu Ba'os HaNes. You were there, you participated, you should therefore partake in Mikra Megillah too, but perhaps only in terms of hearing the Mikra Megillah, not necessarily reading the Megillah. So just like we had by women, Af Hein Hayu Ba'os HaNes would only serve to obligate you to hear the Megillah, actually to read the Megillah. That might be the same case with regards to children. Therefore, a child cannot be Moitzi the Gadol. So it could be the opinion of the Rabbanan is not that they agree fundamentally with Rabbi Yehuda. They agree children are inherently obligated because of Af Hein Hayu Ba'os HaNes, but that's only in terms of listening to the Mikra Megillah, not in terms of reading it. And maybe that's why the Shulchan Aruch has a broader category when it comes to which Ketanim are included, even Ketanim who could just sit there and not, you know, don't necessarily even understand every word. As long as they could just be quiet, that's the Tafanosh and B'yom Echad. They should come and hear the Mikra Megillah. So I have a shtickle raya to this from the Ramah, which is controversial in some shuls. The Ramah says in Siman Tov Reish Sadi Sif Yud Zayin, and it's fascinating. Of course, we have the minig to bang, to clap by Haman. Why do we have the minig to clap by Haman? We bang by Haman. It goes all the way back to the times of the Rishayim. It's quoted here by the Ramah. Why do we have such a minig? So the Ramah quotes a few opinions. One opinion is that it's a fulfillment of Timcha Ezecher Amalek, because the Ramah says they used to write like with chalk the name of Haman on two stones, and they would clap the two stones together, and over the night, the course of the night, the name of Haman would become erased. So it was a fulfillment of Timcha Ezecher Amalek, destroying all remembrances of Amalek, or because of the Pasuk, Shem Rishoyim Yirkov, the name of the Rishoyim should be wiped out. The Chassam Sofer says we're actually not, Be'er Halacha quotes it, but he disagrees, we're actually not even supposed to hear the name Haman. We're drowning out the name of Haman. We shouldn't go back and repeat it. The whole purpose is to drown out the name of Haman. We don't want to hear it even. Of course, we have the Baal Kori go back and hear it. We want to hear every word of the Megillah to be Yotzei. But that's where it's coming from, to kind of drown out or to dampen the significance of the name of Haman. So that's why we bang. In fact, you know, the Gra points out in his commentary on the Mikra Megillah, how many times does the name Haman appear in the Megillah? 54 times. How many letters are there in the 10 names of Haman's children? 54 letters. How many times does the name Esther appear in the Mikra Megillah? So whenever Kadosh Baruch Hu creates forces of evil, there's always forces of good that are, you know, they're parallel forces of good. Zeh le'uma zeh salukim. Kadosh Baruch Hu always creates, you know, parallel forces of good and evil. How many times does the name Esther appear in the Mikra Megillah? 54 times. How many words do we have in the Aranisim of Purim? 54 words in the Aranisim of Purim. Why dafka 54? What's so special about this 54? So Pinchas of Korvitz adds in the Sefer Imre Pinchas that it's because Gematria Mapo Emche Ezech Amalek. I will wipe out the name of Amalek. Emche is Gematria 54. So that's why it's 54 times, because by clapping by Haman, we hope to raise the power of Esther, right, and dampen the power of Haman. Mapo Emche Ezech Amalek. But listen to this. Says the Ramah, who has this minig? Who has the minig to do this? Says the Ramah, Oid Kasvu Shenogu Hatinoikos. It's the little children. he'll have this minik. And then the Ramah says something even more unusual. The Ramah says, Ein levato shum minik or lilog olav, don't make fun of this minik. And don't belittle it, like, you know, we're too mature for this. This was not established gratuitously, or, you know, thoughtlessly. There's a great intention here. Now, the Ramah never else throughout the entire Dalet Chelkei Shulchan Aruch endorses a minig with this kind of language. Ein levatal shominik, and don't make fun of it. This is a significant one. But who's the one who's doing it? It's the children. So I believe, why do we have it? We created this, kind of like the Leil HaSeder, Kadesh Yishvu HaTinaikas. We created an activity for which the children come to shul. Half the children only come to shul to clap by home, and that's what they're waiting for. It takes forever to get there. But that's what they're waiting for. Why did we create this activity? To expand the boundaries of who can come to shul. If it would just be an intellectual activity of reading the Mikra Megillah, it would only be the children's Megillah Chinuch. But we wanted even a broader base. Not, of course, 3-year-old who can't be quiet. A child who can be quiet, but he comes to shul to bang by Haman, that's all he can do. He should still be there. Why? Because even children are obligated to make a Megillah, not to read the Megillah, but to hear the Megillah. And therefore, perhaps a little bit expand the category. Even the children who could just sit at the clock by Haman, as long as they could sit quietly, perhaps do belong in shul and Torah. All right, Paul.